This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
That's right, guys. This is Generation Next. You're joined tonight by Dylan and Mason.
How's it going?
Now, Mason is predominantly our back of house, our social media guy. So whenever you're talking online, your chances are you're talking to Mason. So we decided, why not come on the show tonight?
Sweet. Yeah. Let's get started.
How exciting. How was your weekend, Mason?
It's pretty hectic. Those open houses that they had in Melbourne, I went to one of those and it was pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, they've opened up places that generally aren't open to the public, and they let you look around, and
yeah,
it's pretty sweet.
I was shattered. I couldn't get to go because I was hosting Little Fish, but still, pretty awesome. How did you guys go?
It was pretty cool, I thought, because I've never really explored Melbourne that much, and so I went to a couple of places, checked it out. Pretty cool behind the scenes kind of stuff happening. The lines though were outrageous. They were pretty long and hectic.
Yeah, I heard there was a bit of a debacle with one Australian diva wanting to do an unscheduled sound check.
Yeah, that was a little bit downer.
I was following some of the social media, and it was a bit intense. There was some pretty angry. There were a few angry people.
Yeah, no, at the place there was quite a few like angry kind of crowds happening, but like the volunteers there, they helped calm people down though, so that was sweet.
Oh, that's really, really good. Tonight, on tonight's show, we have got
Gay School
with a lot of awesome articles. We've got some queer experiences.
We've got interview with Greg Adkins from the Anti-Violence Project.
We do. And for anyone who doesn't know about this project, I would highly recommend you get on, do a little bit of research about it, because it should be a well worth interview.
Yeah, antiviolence.info.
Mm. Oh, look at you. You know it all.
Yeah.
Oh, Mason, this is fantastic. We've got another killer lineup of music to throw at you tonight. One artist that's going to be in the mix shortly is DJ Earworm.
Oh, YouTube sensation.
Yeah, and he is fantastic. For anyone at home who doesn't know, he'll be coming out very shortly. But what he does is he grabs the top 25 tracks from the charts of that year or the charts of that time and smashes it into like a five minute feature track where it's a cohesive.
Massive mix-up.
Yeah.
Just mashing it all together.
It's so cool. What you need to do is you need to see the video as well, because he actually turns the video clips from each of the songs into the video clip of the track he's made. The latest one is from 2011, and it's called Make the World Go Boom, and it's got Katy Perry in there.
Yeah, it's got Katy Perry, Rihanna.
Rihanna has been featured in all of them. If you go back even as far as 2008...
That's because she's that good of an artist, okay?
No, she's that good as a media icon. I've seen her live and it was terrible.
Oh, vocally she didn't stand up?
No, she doesn't sing.
Oh.
She was just like, where have you? And then she just kind of like held the mic out and just danced around a bit. If I wanted to see something like that, I'd go to a trashy nightclub.
Oh, fully.
You know? Well, without further ado, here's DJ Earworm's Make the World Go Boom.
Joy 94.9.
Hey guys, you're listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9. Tonight you were joined by Dylan and Mason, and we've got our guest interview, Greg, MP Greg.
Oh, thanks. Well, thanks very much, Dylan. Thanks, Mason. It's good to be here. Good to join you. Oh,
so excellent. Tonight we are interviewing Greg Adkins from the Anti-Violence Project.
Yes, which is a really, really cool... Well, how long has the Anti-Violence Project been going on for?
Our
16th year. We had our 15th birthday on January 20th, and we're now a good halfway through our 16th year.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So far, I guess, what actions have the project come up with so far its 16-year lifespan?
What we've done, I mean, if you just flash back, some of the things we've done is it's about lifting the awareness of the LGBT community. When we started, it was about the it was the LGBT community, but less so the trans community.
Yeah.
And then about 12 years ago, jumping on board, we had a huge connection to the trans community. In fact, we've always had trans members on the committee, and we now have two of the three directors are from the trans community.
Oh, wow.
So we're pretty inclusive.
That's awesome that it's got such a wide reach.
It's fantastic. The diminished lot we don't have many of are women, are lesbians. So if there's any girls that want to get involved, email vkvp@antyviolence.info, because it's really crucial that we connect with women's community.
Can you actually explain to them what AVP does?
What it does is it's the peak body in the gay community that addresses homophobic violence, prejudice-motivated crime against our communities, and deals with violence that takes place between people in our communities. So the internal violence could be relationship or partnership violence.
Yeah.
It could be phobia against lesbians by gay men. It could be phobia against transsexuals or transgendered people by anyone in the community. It could be vilification around, I suppose, race or people's religion that takes place within the community. All those things that happen between people where one person has their power elevated by being the perpetrator and one person has the power diminished and feels lesser and less important and diminished because of the experience.
Okay, is there much, I guess, animosity between the people in our community? Because from what you're saying, that there's discrimination against lesbians and race. Does this actually happen in our community?
Well, I'm a bit older than you guys, but when I was 16, I went to uni at 16. My first experience of lesbian, I suppose, community that was isolationist, that's the separatist groups of lesbian way back when, and sometimes they exist today, was opening a door for a group of women at Melbourne University and getting the shit punched out of me because I dared to open the door. And they were a lesbian collective at the time that were separatist, didn't want anything to do with men, let alone gay men, and found it really threatening and took action against people that disrespected them, and I disrespected them by opening the door. Now, that's some time ago.
Yeah.
That was my first experience of a feminist collective that existed back then. Doesn't exist now.
Oh, thank goodness.
But we still have pockets of gay men that just want to associate with gay men. We have venues that are men only, and we have some venues and some groups of women that only want to associate with other women.
So also, with reporting violence, how do you exactly do that, as well as how do you help the prevention of it?
Well, Mason, good question, because if people have nowhere to go to report violence, or if they don't know that they can report violence, they often just sit there and they stew on what's happened to them, and the experience might be repeated. No one ever challenges perpetrators, or no one ever helps people to be safe. And without being able to report violence, you get mental health issues arise, you get relationships break down, you have people disconnected and not feeling part of our community.
Oh my goodness. Greg, we're just going to cut away to an awesome track.
We'll be back.
Yeah, absolutely. Jump around and turn it up.
The most diverse sound for the most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Generation Next with Dill, Mason and MP Greg Atkin.
Well, I'm not an MP.
MP.
I'm ex-mayor. Rooster one day, feather duster the next. But I was a mayor of the city out in the eastern suburbs for a little bit. Yeah,
was that Ringwood?
It was Ringwood, yeah.
Cool.
Before it changed to Maroondah.
Ah. So the next question we have for you is, what is AVP Connect?
Well, AVP Connect's a really interesting project that was set up when we had a project worker called Zitian Zhang, a Chinese guy, fantastic guy, sometimes known as Tim. He's reclaimed his Chinese-ness, so he's no longer Tim, he's Zitian. And we did a project looking at how people in rural areas, country towns, could connect to the AVP without having to out themselves to the local gay or the local known lesbian in their town. And we went to Beechworth, Mace. We went to Beechworth for a Health and Difference conference, and people said, well, hey, if we could go to the next town rather than our town and see the out lesbian or the out gay person there, then we don't have to out ourselves in our own town, and we can come out when we want to come out rather than when we have to come out.
Ah, so when did this kind of initiative take hold?
Well, it's 2 years in the planning. Because we don't have funding, stuff takes a long time to roll out. We don't get the funding. We can budget now, but we might take 18 months to get the dollars in the bank to do what we need to do. So it's literally on Idaho Day this year, we rolled out the first couple of towns for AVP Connect.
And just for everyone at home, Idaho, that's the
International Day Against Homophobia / and Transphobia.
On May 17 every year.
which is a really, really good initiative. Yeah.
So we rolled out on May 17th this year, we rolled out Sammy is contactable in Whittlesea by emailing whittlesea@antiviolence.info. Chris is contactable in Shepparton by emailing emailing shepparton@antiviolence.info. We've got Rob, he's contactable in Ballarat@antiviolence.info. And we've got a range of other people that are on board now just going through training, and we'll have AVP representatives in Warrnambool, in Bendigo, in Bacchus Marsh.
Wow.
A whole range of places, the Trobe Valley, a whole range of places will have AVP people that people can connect with.
That's awesome that it has such a large reach. How many people do you believe that AVP has helped and reached during the 16 years of operation?
We probably get violence reports from anywhere between 50 and 90 people a year. So you can multiply. That's all we get.
Okay,
multiply that out. But when you think that 3 out of 10 in metropolitan areas, 3 out of 10 gays and lesbians and transgender people experience homophobic violence against them, and 1 out of 10 experience it in country areas, and they're the ones that report it, and the rest don't report it. It's a huge amount. We know, but there's a huge volume of people that never talk to anyone about what they experience.
So I guess the most important thing is if you do experience any kind of prejudice or discrimination, that you have to take use of these resources, or else it's all for nothing.
Well, because we don't know, if 100% of people reported, we'd then have the stats to go to government and say, hey, this is the problem.
But you reach at least 800 people over the entire 16 span.
Significant. In research, though, research, you need to have probably over 200 people per year to have a sample size that people are going to acknowledge.
So a significant amount.
Yeah. And you've got to have evaluation for projects. We don't, like many gay and lesbian and trans community projects, don't have funds to put into evaluation. So government and bureaucrats don't tend to take note unless you actually have the dollars to pay for evaluation of projects. Which is a bit sad, really.
How much does one of those cost, just out of curiosity?
Oh, if you look at projects like some of the Orso Foundation's projects, they ran Take Care Out There, and I think they probably had a huge, maybe 100,000 going into Take Care Out There, and I think they probably spent about $15,000 to $20,000, maybe $30,000 on evaluation that I think was done in a contract they had with Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria. That was funding that went to GLHV, and they did the evaluation for them.
That's pretty expensive, though. That's like a brand new car.
Well, it proves, it in research sense, it proves that the knowledge you've gained stacks up. It proves that the methodology you're using is relevant and accurate. Now, people like AVP and others, we just have to go by the seat of our pants and make sure we get enough advice and people coming in as we build up projects to make sure it's relevant and accurate at that point.
Absolutely.
And we just can't afford the evaluation, so we have to be really tight at every point of the way before we get to that point.
But recently, we heard that you got a massive donation from Vic Baird.
Last night. In fact, on Sunday night, thank you very much, Dylan.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I've got the check in front of me from Vic Bears. It's $15,000 from Vic Bears donated last Sunday night from their hibernation activities.
That definitely sounds like that's going to help with the AVP Connect.
Extraordinary. What it's going to do is that will pay for posters. We now have posters. We will now be able to afford some form of communication between and support for AVP Connect participants.
Awesome.
We'll be able to get them down to Melbourne to train, or we'll be able to go and train in regional and rural areas to make sure they're up to speed, and we can expand the network far greater right across the state.
Fantastic. Just hold that thought, and we've got some important announcements.
Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Generation Next with Dill, Mason, and our guest Greg.
Whoa. Our fantastic guest Greg.
If anyone has any comments or if we have a dialogue for anyone, we'd love to hear from you. Please text us in. We've actually had some people already message in. We've got someone, Nick, who's saying, love you, Greg. Well done, anti-violence project, !!
So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Someone really enjoys your work.
It's Nick. He loves you. Love from Nick. It's
well,
on there.
It's not just me. It's Jane and it's Lauren from the board, and it's all the people from AVP Connect. It's the people like Zidian that do projects. Rhiannon that helped do the With Respect Awareness Project. She was a student placement from one of the universities, and With Respect Awareness Project is about to launch something very exciting with a range of different groups. So watch out in the next couple of weeks for something very exciting involving the Rights Lobby, the Anti-Violence Project, also, and the Human Rights Commission and a few other people.
Beautiful.
So how does someone get involved with AVP?
Well, they drop us an email to greg@antiviolence.info. I'm the executive director, or vicavp@antiviolence.info. And we catch up. We sit down and have a coffee, something to eat, and we talk about what you need to achieve, what you want to achieve. And then we talk about what projects we have at the AVP. You might have some ideas about brilliant work that needs to be done in this space and hasn't been done, and we'll just welcome you with open arms and give you the resources and facility to do that project. And that's what it, all simple as what it is. Just if you've got an idea, if you've got a student placement, if you're doing, you need to do 40 days or 60 days or a term for your university course, let's deliver a project for the GLBT community.
That fantastic. Sounds awesome.
We also got an email in from Anonymous from Victoria, Australia. question for the Mason and Dylan. When and why does the gay nightlife start so late? Thanks for all your work with Joy. Oh, thanks, Anonymous.
Have you experienced the gay nightlife?
Well, look, I have to say, I like how the gay nightlife, or specifically the nightlife in Sydney, because it's also, they've got the day clubs where you can go during the day and you can, like when you're on holidays and stuff. I think that's really awesome. But the nightlife, I'll be honest, I don't really go out into the gay scene, the nightlife. I go out to gigs and music festivals, so...
Well, I don't really go out either, but maybe Greg can tell us about
Yeah.
The gigs are pretty safe places for GBT. But it's the nightlife, you know, they like everyone goes out at midnight, or they say 11 o'clock and gay time says midnight or 1 in the morning and they head out. That's the spaces where the suburban people that mightn't have rubbed shoulders with a gay or lesbian or a transgender person come in, and they're the ones that are a bit of a problem about safety, especially in summer. I mean, the homophobes and the burbs are a bit lazy in winter. They're home sinking their beers and rubbing their beer bellies and with their bimbos. But
wow, okay.
You know,
they're
sheilas.
But in the summer areas, they come and mix, and they're homophobic. I mean, they express themselves. They haven't seen a trans or a bi or a gay lesbian person before.
Nor would they know what one would look like.
And they're in at night. They've tanked up before they've left the burbs. They've got into the environments, having a few more bevvies in the car or the car park before they go into a bar and avoid being kicked out. And that's when we have problems. And it's usually, you know, midnight till 3 o'clock in the morning. That's the problem area for homophobia.
That's really shocking, because that's generally the time when most people, especially in our community, are out and about, and we've already, you know, you drop your guard after you go out as well when you're with your friends, and that's, I suppose, when you're going to be more likely to be attacked.
But it's not broad. I mean, most people out there, most young guys and girls today are really friendly and homophilic. They're actually supportive of gay and lesbian community. It's the one or two that are leaders of their group, and will stand up, and the rest will follow them and won't challenge them. They're the problem ones. But young guys and girls are more likely to challenge the homophobes now than ever before.
So which is a fantastic thing.
It's awesome. So we've got to embrace that. We've got to encourage that and support those people, and we want them to come from the suburbs.
Absolutely. Before we had those important announcements, we were talking about how you got given $15,000, a donation from Vic Bears.
Yeah.
Oh, we're on time then. That's really awesome.
it is. They're fantastic. Rob Cam, who's retiring as the Vic Bears president, and his amazing committee, raised around about $26,000, and $5,000 went to VAC. Mm-hmm. A range of funding went to smaller groups. And the AVP was lucky to receive $15,000 from Vic Bears.
What will that $15,000 be used for?
It's going to pay for posters. It's going to pay for cards, ways to communicate with people, magnets that can tell people that we exist, give them a really one-click approach to connecting to reporting violence. It can be on their fridge in a safe way. It can be at their school. It can be in their shop. If people come in, they witness homophobia, and people come into a gay or lesbian cafe out in the country areas or the suburbs, they'll be safe spaces, and they'll have the resources that we can now afford to badge up and make everyone safe.
That sounds awesome.
Mr. Greg Adkins, it's been a pleasure for you coming in tonight. Thank you so much. Is there anything that we can do to further promote AVP?
Yeah, the website is antiviolence.info. The email address is vicavp@antiviolence.info. And you can also get us on Facebook. Yep. Check out VicAVP on Facebook or @VicAVP on the Twitter sphere.
Okay, we'll be sure to put it onto the Joy website, and then people can connect through our various social medias as well. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dylan. Thanks, Mason.
Joy 94.9.
Hey, guys. Generation Next. It's 22 minutes to 8. You're joined tonight with Dill and Mason, and we've got a silent Greg as well. But we're going to kick off into Queer Experience, Generation Next on Joy's only Queer Experience segment.
Network.
Mine isn't so much an experience, but it's more advice to anyone out there who has just got out of a relationship. Here's the thing. I got out of a pretty gross relationship at the end of last year and quickly found myself back in a fresh new relationship. And this isn't secular to our LGBTIQ community. It goes across to the heterosexuals as well. What you need to do before you get into a relationship is you need to assess your own mindset and your own headspace, because I got into a relationship just after breaking up from one, and instead of growing as a person, what I did was I found out that I'm not suited into being in a relationship, and I've completely destroyed somebody's heart. And for that, I'm so sorry to that person. They know who they are. And yeah, just before you rush into anything, guys, just, you know, work out who you are and where your head is at, because it can do a lot of damage.
But that's general advice. You should always, before you even go into a relationship, you should have a good idea of who you are, what you want out of life. Isn't that...
Oh, you'd think, but it happens so quickly sometimes. It looks like Greg has something to add.
Should you have sex at the start of a relationship, or should you hold back a bit?
Oh, that's
it depends, because then it's like, who is that question posed to? Is that posed to gay men? Is that posed to lesbians? Is that across the board?
Do you think it is different across the board?
I think it would be in different, because different people as well as the different circumstances, I think that would affect how they act.
Some people say once you do particular things, it might be anal sex or something, that actually bonds people more closely in a relationship, or they feel like they're part of a relationship quicker than perhaps they're emotionally ready for.
I think what my issue with that was, I was on the rebound, and that's one thing you have to worry about when you're in the rebound, and when you've gone from a loving, well, not a loving, but when you've gone from a relationship where it's intimate and you crave that again when you're out of it. And then I was just a complete fool and rushed right in, and I put all my cards in front of me before I could see what was going on, and then I got scared and freaked out.
And run away.
And yeah, I've done something really horrible in the process.
Will you do it again? Do you repeat yourself?
Hopefully I won't do it again. Hopefully I won't, you know, totally destroy somebody's... not destroy, but yeah, hopefully I won't betray anyone's trust, because that's the worst. That's horrible. I would never want to do that to anybody. Ever. Yeah, that's my two cents on that. Think before you do things, kids. It has, you know, consequences. There are consequences to your actions, specifically my actions. Why am I laughing? This is horrible.
This is a horrible experience.
It is. And with that, we're going to cut to some important announcements.
The most diverse sound for the most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Generation Next on Joy, and we've got
queer
Mason's.
Queer experiences.
Mason's queer experience.
Mine is, it's kind of similar to yours, but in a different way, indecision.
Same, but different.
Yeah. How lovely. I guess my indecision has always been with my identity, like sexual orientation as well as my gender identity. I kind of bounce around between, like, over my life since I've starting to transition, I've been a lesbian, I've been bisexual, I've been a gay guy, I've been back bisexual, and now I'm asexual. So it's kind of like I can't make up my mind, but I also, it fluctuates as well.
Yeah.
And I always feel bad when I have people that like me out of a certain... Like, if I have a guy that likes me and it's like, oh, I'm kind of more attracted to girls, but I'm kind of interested, but I'm not really, but...
Oh, okay. That's a really interesting I guess, headspace to, like, that's a lot to process as well for yourself, Mason.
As well as because it's a fluctuating sexual orientation as well as gender identity.
Oh, it looks like Greg's got something to say.
Yeah, Mason, you had a couple of boxes there. You sort of identified yourself in a couple of different boxes. Is there such a thing as an open box where you don't have to identify?
Yeah, no, but I don't know. I just like to say that I've been all these different things, but now I'm nothing, I guess. Asexual, lack of sexuality.
Getting a bit misty. Glasses are fogging up about this topic.
Quiet, you. You were tearing up as well.
Oh, yeah, because I, okay, for the guys, for the listeners, I broke up with my boyfriend on Sunday. So it's the wound is pretty fresh. And we had actually a text in, and we love getting your texts.
And this guy or girl, I'm not sure what they are.
We have a total anonymous, not like our Ben Faux Pas anonymous before.
Is a cheater always a cheater?
Ah, that's, you know what? I think it depends
on the on person
and the relationship. Now, I know, and yeah, exactly the person. I know when I was younger, in my teens, I was a cheater, and now I'm not a cheater. But then again, I'm also a polygamist, so figure.
Well, do people always go out with cheaters? If you've been cheated on, will you always end up with a partner that's going to cheat on you?
Or do you drive people away to
cheat?
No,
but that's just insecurities now you're getting onto.
Well, I've got a couple of friends that have had partners that cheat on them. And what the problem is, they start off being quite intimate and then the intimacy dies and then you're stuck with a stranger. And what's the point of being in a relationship with a total stranger and someone that's really cold? Of course, you're going to go somewhere else.
Yeah, no, because affection and sex are an important part of a relationship. So it's kind of like, I'm not justifying someone cheating, but I'm saying that having something lack does create a hole in the relationship. So it kind of does leave a hole for someone to climb out and go elsewhere.
Absolutely. Greg, what would be, I guess, do you have any queer experiences when you were a teenager or when you were younger?
Any similar things happen?
Yeah,
I'm thinking about growing up in the time of HIV. You know, when I was a younger guy and the first gay people I were attracted to were older than me, so that I was school age, I was 14, 15, and I only mixed with the gay guys that were in their 20s, 30s or above, because I didn't want the people my age to know that I was queer.
Oh, I was the same, but I wasn't so much they found out I was queer because they drove cars. Yeah. That's why I like them.
Free lifts.
Yeah, IDs.
Well, that's what I used older girlfriends for. I still went out with women when I was 14, 15, 16, but they were always older than me because they had the cars.
Ah, nice, yeah, nice.
So you're not biased. You're like, you've got a car, let's go.
Hey, do you know what? I don't think there's any biasm towards that. I think if you've got a... Like, I'm a sucker for mean wheels. If I see someone with a nice car, I'll be like, hey, what's your number? What's your sign? Who are you? You know, let me know.
What's happening?
Hey. Do you know what time it is? Time for gay school.
There's a bear in there, and a chair as well.
There are people with games and stories to tell.
Open wide, come inside. It's play school.
It's gay school.
How nice was that, guys?
Nice in sync.
Mason, you kick it off.
We have a lovely article from Headspace. It's titled, Do We Need to Make Mental the New Retarded?
Which opens up a pretty big dialogue. And the way we work with words, I mean, that's so gay is still...
It's frowned upon. Saying something is saying, oh, you're retarded. That's also
quite derogatory and quite, I guess, just disheartening to a lot of people out there. But I really did like this article. It comes from Headspace, and Mason knows everything about this.
Earlier this year, when The Voice contestant Shauna Jensen sang her heart out but wasn't chosen by the celebrity judges, her response was a straight to the point, are you mental, she asked. I thought I was damn good. Beyond her kind of what the word she used, the guy, Chris Tanti, starts to discuss saying, are you mental? Is that an appropriate thing to say? Is that if she said, are you retarded, that would have invoked a huge outcry versus are you mental? So he's kind of, the article's kind of asking, should we let are you mental be an acceptable phrase to use towards people?
Yeah, well... But then again, is this just our PC culture going crazy as well, where everyone has a criticism on somebody? And some things, someone's going to get offended by one topic or another. I mean, it's a slippery slope when you think about it.
I think it's a fair thing to kind of, because it's discriminating against someone with mental illness. Are you mental? Like, it depends on who says it. So the context of it being used.
But hey, if people are depressed, I mean, talk about depression being a mental illness now, and if nearly everyone in the community is depressed at some point. So if we've all had mental illness, how can we discriminate against others?
Well, how do you feel on the topic? Do you think mental is a discriminative word? Do you think that are you mental would be an offensive term?
I think it's offensive.
Because it's alike to crazy, psycho. Just, these are general negative terms to be used towards someone with mental illness.
Well, isn't it like saying that's so gay?
Yeah, it's in a similar kind of strain, I think.
Oh, very nice. Well, moving on, across the other side of the pond, David Cameron, who is the... he's the opposition? He's the coalition in England.
He is the leader.
He's the Prime Minister. Prime Minister. Yeah.
How awesome am I with geography knowledge? Well, David Cameron has come out and he said, if marriage is good enough for straights, it's good enough for everyone. And it's beautiful what he's written. He said, I'm absolutely determined that this coalition government will follow in that tradition by legislating for gay marriage in this parliament. Why do you think our country is not getting in this bandwagon?
They've had civil partnerships for 7 years.
Have they?
Yeah, they're ahead of the times.
They've had civil partnerships and everyone's come on board and they now want the next step. We haven't even gotten anywhere near that. It's only like 15 years ago the lesbians and gays were fighting with the feminists to get rid of marriage altogether.
Yeah,
it's, absolutely.
A recent six years that we've been fighting for gay marriage.
Well, I especially love this line. I passionately believe that all the institutions need to wake up to the case for equality. And the church shouldn't be locking out people who are gay or bisexual or are transgendered from being full members of that church. Because many people with deeply held Christian views are also gay. And just as the Conservative Party as an institution made a mistake in locking people out, so I think the churches can be in danger of doing the same thing.
I bet Tony Abbott sort of swallowed his Wheaties and choked on them when he heard his Conservative Prime Minister of England partner.
We can only hope.
We can only hope it has a positive impact here in Australia.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
More and more countries are following suit, so it's like we can go and point to them and say, look, they're doing it. What is the argument against
us
following
suit? The only way it's going to get through here is if the Liberal Party have a conscience vote in the federal parliament. And, I mean, are all the young people listening to Generation Next getting on the blower and talking to their Liberal politicians and saying, give yourself a free vote, go against Tony Abbott, have a free vote? It's the Liberals that has to get it across the line. Labor's already got it in their platform. Labor's already on board. It's the Liberal Party that has to deliver it now.
Absolutely. Just to cut back to the previous topic with our queer experience, we had a text in response to Mason's experience. Hi, guys. I love this discussion. I can totally relate to fluctuating sexuality and have broken a few hearts because of it. Ironically, I also identify as asexual now. Keep up the great work. Steve the truckie.
I can totally agree with what he said and just relate to it unbelievably.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, back to gay school. Sorry, going everywhere. A lesbian kiss at the Olympic opening ceremony sparks praise and fury.
This is awkward, though, because it's apparently just a clip from a 1993 soap opera, something like that, and then apparently it's sparking outrage. It's barely even a second or so.
It was the first same-sex kiss shown in countries like Saudi Arabia where it's illegal to be gay, and no other gay kiss has ever been shown on television in the Middle Eastern country.
Okay, now it is a big deal.
Yeah, well, because there was a lot of nations are invested in the Olympics. They watch the Olympics, so it did have quite an effect. I think I was totally unfazed by it. I think that's just because I'm gay and I'm seeing, like, I don't know, I just think it was really silly that there's such a beat up
I missed
about
it. Where was it?
I think you can find it on YouTube probably.
It was just a quick snippet.
It's just like they were showing all these TVs and kind of like showcasing UK talent, I guess, because a lot of the opening ceremony has been very UK focused and centric.
Even more than that, it's been very London centric. I mean, when they talked about all the history of London and stuff like that, you wouldn't have had many black people there forming England and UK 200 years ago, 400 years ago, would you? So it's very London focused.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good. Yeah. London's very gay and lesbian.
Really? Well, we always seem to travel over there. A lot of our community always is obsessed with London. One quick last one before we go. Queer history goes viral. Thousands of LGBTI Melburnians are sharing and uncovering stories, photos and videos from past decades online to remember the queer community's legacy. Lost Gay Melbourne, which is a Facebook group, is taking its lead from the popular Lost Gay Sydney group, and it's been inundated with drag photos and other paraphernalia.
I don't know if you know this, but the guy that actually has created the page, Travis DeJonk, he is from Same Same, so he's got a lot of... He does a lot of community stuff already, so it's really good that he's kind of created this kind of initiative to
absolutely reflect. I think it is such a wonderful experience as well, because, you know, throughout our time in our community, right now we're starting to build up where it's okay to be gay, and it's okay in modern focus to be gay as well. So back 10, 15 years ago, those photos, those, you know, they were precious moments, and it's great that we can share them with the community we have now.
Travis DeJong even said... he started the page because of the recent death of a drag identity, Pussy Willow.
Buried today. So, yeah, good on you, Trav. Travis DeJong from Same Same.
One final important message, which, and then we'll be wrapping up. It's getting sad. We're running out of time.
Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Generation Next, only on Joy 94.9.
Massive thanks to Greg Adkins from Anti-Violence Project. Well, hanging out with us.
Thanks to you guys, Dylan and Mason. It's a good show.
Oh, well, thanks so much for coming in. Always love opening up a dialogue. If anyone else would like to add any comments, feel free to send us an email at generationnext@joy.org.au. We love to hear your feedback and hear what's going on. Next week, awesome show. We've got Amelia from Minus 18 coming
in. Oh, yeah, she's really good.
Yeah, she's really cool, quirky. So she'll be coming in next week to have a bit of chat what's going on in Minus and a lot of other interesting things. But we're going to finish up tonight with The Muse, Supermassive Black Hole.
Oh, best song out.
Thanks so much, guys. You've been listening to Generation Next on Joy.
See you guys.
Turn it up and have a dance.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.